Chapter 12. His name is Il Conte di Puriere, and he desires me. A man of good taste, a conte. A rich and powerful man? Very. And your lover? He put more fish in his mouth as if the question meant nothing. Petra glared at him. She'd like to hide so many aspects of this story, but she couldn't lie about this. Yes. Was this after you became a nun? He asked, still as if they discussed fish. Of course not. Not impossible. But then you must have been very young for such a liaison. You can put away your inquisitor's implement, sir. I'm willing to tell you everything. At least, as much as you need to know. What are you smiling at now? Your hands, he said. You speak with your hands. You didn't do that so much before. In the convent, it was disapproved. But now the real Petra Daverio emerges, like a butterfly. He snapped his fingers, and his little dog came over to be fed a morsel. They call this breed the butterfly because of their large ears and the mark down the center of their face. I'm no butterfly, she objected. You're not a stone, either. Eat. If you're in danger, that's even more reason to need your strength. Petra obeyed, amazed by his ability to irritate her even with food. It was very good, however, and she was very hungry. She ate all her fish without realizing it. He changed the plates and served her some sort of meat fricassee and vegetables, but then prompted, Il Conte di Puriere? She sighed. I've known him most of my life. He's a friend of my brother's. I fancied myself in love with him. We met clandestinely. I was foolish. That's the whole story. Eat, he said again. When she'd finished one mouthful, he said, An heir to a title was not an approved match for you. Here they came to some parts she'd rather hide. I was not considered a suitable match for him. Being young and foolish, I thought that a minor problem, but of course it wasn't. So you were packed off to a nunnery? I chose to go to the nunnery, but yes, one reason was to escape Ludovico's persistence. He could not marry me, so he wanted me as his mistress. He paused in eating. Your family offered no protection. My father was dead. My brother is a friend of his. And is also, my apologies if I offend, a cur. A dog? She translated, puzzling over that. A dog can be a noble animal. A cur is the lowest, vicious sort, fit only for shooting. Ah! Petra ate more of the tender meat, savouring the thought of her brother, Cesare, as a cur. But the convent walls did not protect you, Robin said. They did for a while, or more precisely, my mother did. Look, this may all be nothing. If I imagined Varzi... Varzi? He asked. And she realized that she'd not mentioned the name before. He is Puriere's minion. His hunting dog. The one he would send after me. Let's assume you didn't imagine him. If we're in danger, I prefer to know. Go on. Petra ate a little more. I thought I saw Varzi as we entered Abbeville. But you know how it is. We call out to a friend, but when they turn, it isn't them at all. It must have been so, for if it was him, why didn't he seize me? Perhaps because you speedily fled with me. Petra wanted to believe that she'd imagined Varzi, but that made more sense. Expect the best, but prepare for the worst, he said. Explain Varzi by explaining Purieri. Tell me about Milan. Petra contemplated walking out, but Robin was owed some of the truth. She made herself eat a little more, as she thought. It's complicated. There was my folly with Ludovico. Then my father died. As a widow, my mother wished to enter a convent. It is often done so, and I asked to go with her, because I knew that my brother, who had inherited, would be difficult. A rather drastic solution, surely? She shrugged. I saw no choice, and it is not uncommon for unmarried ladies of good family to live in a convent. Why? They are often a liability. They are not allowed to marry beneath their station, but the young men of similar families want larger dowries. The sons are not prevented from marrying low as long as there's money. Why marry the sister of a friend when one can become rich by marrying the daughter of a Venetian silk merchant? That's what Ludovico did, he asked. The daughter of a Genoa spice merchant, but... She caught herself gesturing with knife and fork and stopped it. It is not that way in England. No. Probably because we don't have convents to take our languishing ladies. How improvident of Henry VIII. A house full of generations of spinsters would be the very devil. Truth? She asked, studying him. You would marry a lady of your own station, even if a rich merchant's daughter was available? Are you a rich merchant's daughter? No. Alas. Why? When she saw his meaning, she said, I am virtually penniless, sir. He shrugged. I assume I'll marry a lady of my own station, who also has a handsome dowry. So money is not irrelevant. Money is never irrelevant, but there are other dowries. Powerful connections and influence can also be valuable. Does no one in the world marry for love? She demanded. My dear Petra, never say you're a romantic. She looked with distaste at the remains of her food. Not any longer. I have nothing against love, he said, but with good management it coincides with other benefits. And if not, there is a less holy arrangement, which your Ludovico wanted. Such permanent liaisons are not always without honour. For a married man, she objected. It is wrong in any situation, but for a man to so betray his wife, and for a woman to so betray another woman and the holy vows. I could never do such a thing, and in any case, why trust such a man? He who cannot be faithful to one will be faithful to none. She hadn't intended a personal attack, but his lips tightened. You are not married, she said, making it worse. He pushed aside his plate. So you preferred the cold convent to a hot lover, but it did not solve your problems. Petra restrained the urge to fight. I was content in the convent, and Ludovico married. I thought the problem over, but when my mother sickened... He filled her wine glass and she sipped. Mama was sure that once she was dead, Cesare would find a way to force me out. So she came up with a plan. Your brother could give you to be his friend's whore, and Milanese society would not object. No wonder he was astonished. They'd come to the point she wished to conceal, as much for her mother's honour as her own. She contemplated the wine, but saw no alternative. I'm a bastard, she said. Ah, hold your story there a moment. We'll refortify ourselves. He rang the bell on the table, and the servant returned to clear away dishes and replace them with sweets and a coffee tray. Robin dismissed him with a generous coin and poured the coffee himself. Petra watched, inhaling the aroma, knowing it was of the finest quality and perfectly made. He passed her a cup. "Is it possible? Do we share an indulgence?" "No point in lying. I do have a weakness for good coffee." She added 3 sugar lumps and plenty of cream, then sipped, eyes closed, letting perfection fill her senses and slide down to satisfy her body. "My dear Petra, I pray I can one day bring that look to your face." Her eyes flew open and her face went hot. "I'm sorry, it's just that I haven't... This is the best I've tasted since leaving Italy, since before the convent, in fact. There we only had it on the most celebrated holidays, and it was never very good." He was watching her. "I have someone in all my houses who knows how to make coffee even better than this," he said softly, clearly meaning to tempt her. Instead, he'd startled her. "All your houses?" A blink. Did it mean that he'd lied, or that he'd told a revealing truth? But then he explained, seeming at ease. "My place in Huntingdonshire, and one in London. I confess to being a courtier, did I not? I also have a small property in Vienne. That came with my mother." "I see. Are all younger sons so well endowed?" She sipped again, then licked cream off her lip. He stared for a moment, then seemed to shake himself. "We were talking about your family. I assume you are your mother's love child." "Yes." She fixed him with a look. "She was a good woman. Do not think for a moment she was not. She was very young when it happened, younger than I am now, even though she was already married and mother to 2 sons." He put a fruit tart on her plate, golden pastry filled with something red and topped with rich cream. "Married too young, then?" "At 15. It's not surprising." She let her hands complete the sentence. "A Venetian masquerade. A brief folly. Consequences she could not disguise. She had borne 2 sons, and I gather my father had other pleasures. He forgave her, but at a price. If the baby turned out to be a boy, it would be sent away. But if it was a girl, my mother would be allowed to keep me, and he would accept me. But in return, she had to be a docile wife who never objected to anything he did." "Presumably that wasn't her true nature." Petra said only, "He was a difficult man." "None of this was your fault," he said gently. "I was born. It would have been much better not so. My father kept his word, but as he lay dying, he told my brother the truth about me. So you see, that explains his behavior." "No, but go on." She frowned at him. "You wouldn't mind one of your sisters being a bastard?" "I certainly wouldn't set her up to be the whore of a friend." "You forget my folly. Cesare had reason to think I desired Ludo." He merely shook his head. "So you enter the protection of the convent, but then your mother becomes ill. She must still have been a young woman." "Yes, but something caused her to weaken and fail. She was determined that I be safe, however, and developed her plan." "This journey to England? Why?" he asked. "There was no refuge closer to home, no supportive relatives." "None who could oppose Cesare. He is also a difficult man. and my mother was always an outsider. What of her family? They are Austrian. My father, Il Conte, married my mother to gain favor at the Austrian court, but times have changed. Her family has trouble of their own and hardly know me. She was unwilling to entrust my safety to them. So instead, she entrusted you to whom? Then he said, Your true father, Riddlesome? Yes. Struth. But then why is he not assisting you with your journey? When she didn't answer, he said, He is aware of your existence, is he not? At yet more silence, he shook his head. My dearest Petra, you truly will need me. No, I mean, you have to understand. My father, Il Conte, would never have allowed my mother to contact him, but also she didn't try. She knew it had been a passing thing for him. He was very young, younger even than she, touring Italy, as young English gentlemen do for their education. She assumed he would take other lovers and forget them all. Even so, she remembered. She smiled when she spoke of him. She said he was so beautiful and glowed with energy and enthusiasm, that he was tender and kind. So strange to hear such words from her. We are all young once, he said. Do we all let beauty tempt us to destruction? I mean Ludovico, she said quickly, though in truth she'd been thinking of Robin Bonchurch, with his halo of bright hair, his sapphire eyes, and his lean cheeks showing dimples now with the hint of a knowing smile. But why not contact him with this plan in mind? There wasn't a great deal of time, and we feared we were watched. If a letter was intercepted, it would tell Cesare too much. He doesn't know who your father is. My mother told no one until she told me. She told my father that he was masked, and that it happened only once. In fact, the affair lasted for over a week. I still wonder how she could... He picked up the tart and held it to her lips. Eat. It's too good to waste. She took it, but only licked a little cream. He hummed. Do that again. Petra blushed and took a full bite, then sighed in pleasure. The pastry flaked with butter, and the tangy fruit was the perfect complement for the rich cream. She licked some off her lips without thinking, then saw him watching her again. It's very good, she excused. I haven't tasted the like in ages. Not in the convent, I can understand, but were there no sweet indulgences with Lady Sodworth? She's frantic about her tiny waist and won't allow any such foods in sight. No wonder she's peevish. Laughter escaped her. He scooped some cream from another tart and held it to her lips. She licked before she could help herself, but then pushed her chair back so she was out of reach. He licked off the remains of the cream himself. Slowly. But that, my sweet Petra, is how she could, when even younger than you, with less cause to be cautious. I can't imagine your English father's reaction. Are you even sure he's still alive? Petra pulled herself together, dropping the remains of her tart on her plate. We're not idiots. My mother had always cherished mention of him, and we found ways to hear the latest news. Not a nobody, then. His name? When she stayed silent, he said, Even now you can't trust me. Exactly. But I will trust no one with his name. I know much about him, and some is worrying. He has the reputation of being a harsh man. My mother was sure he would accept me and be good and gentle, but I must be sure before I put myself in another man's power. Perhaps wise, but how could telling me be a threat? A secret broken is no longer a secret. The truth might slip out. Stubborn again. Persistent again. But it will do you no good. If your father is vile, you will do what? Go to a convent, she thought. But that part of the plan was no use. For the first time, Petra realized what poor option she might have. Petra, I will compel you to nothing except to remain within my protection until you find some other. Anything else would be madness. Petra controlled her fear and anger. He couldn't prevent her leaving him if she was resolute, any more than Cesare and Ludo had been able to stop her leaving Milan. He consulted a gold pocket watch. We have time. Complete your story. You were in danger of being torn from the convent. I'm astonished that the church would allow it. The community of Saint Veronica is not exactly a convent. The order's ancient mission is to offer aid in the street, which they cannot do when living in cloister. They exist by the tolerance of the archbishop, but he, alas, is a Morcini, a member of Ludo's family. Pressure was applied. Return me to my family, or cloister would be imposed, ruining our work. Mother Superior stalled him with talk of my being prostrate with grief because of my mother's death, but we had to act immediately. To cross Europe alone, however, that was impossible. Then we heard about this Lady Sodworth, who was about to journey home and was making a great fuss about it. We asked her to escort me to a convent in England, tempting her with free service. She swallowed it whole, and even agreed to keep the arrangement secret. I slipped out and joined her party just before she left the city. I hoped it would be a long time before Ludovico realized I had left, and that then he would give up his folly. How long since you left Milan? A month? A little under, she said, disturbed. But he'll have learned about your absence fairly quickly. As you implied, there would be spies in the convent. But would he really send men after you? You don't believe me. She threw her hands up. It's insane, I know it. That's why I've said nothing, why I was reluctant to speak now. My mind is clearly disordered by my ordeal. Il Conte di Purieri has probably washed his hands of me, and no one in the world cares where Petra D'Averio has gone. Let's assume your lover's hunting dog did track you to Arville. Hunting cur, Petra corrected with satisfaction. No, curs are vile, and one merely shoots them. This, I assume, is a dangerous beast. How could you know what sort of man Varzi is? Because you fear him, and Il Conte di Purieri employs him. What sort of man is he? Ludovico. Hot-headed, spoiled, and unable to accept rejection. Ever. Once I found his arrogance thrilling. Alas, for we more modest men. This is no time for jokes. Even the darkest dramas demand humour. Otherwise we embrace hell. So, let's assume Purieri did send Varzi after you. He'd soon discover you'd left with Lady Sodworth and followed her trail. Not a difficult one, with the Berlin, the children, and the screeching. So he's confident and plays a little game. Would he do that? If it were a cruel one, yes. He comes up close behind you, and then travels ahead to Arville, and stations himself in the street where you will see him. Thus, he throws you into terror for a while before snatching you away. How he must have relished that. But instead, I left with you, she said, smiling as she savored that. I wish I'd been able to see his reaction when he realized. I wish I could grant your wish. Let's see. What does he do then? Waste some time searching the inn, perhaps searches the town, inquires at any convents. By the time he suspects you've travelled on, the storm is too close. He's furious, but still sure of his quarry. He knows your destination. How? She asked, but then answered herself. Because I went with Lady Sodworth, thus I am en route to England. She stood. He could be here now. We must leave. We're as safe here as in the tower. The danger will be on the road. He could hold up the chaise and steal you, or think he could. I assume he doesn't work alone. No. So tell me more about him. Is he formidable? Oh, yes. How to explain? Politics and intrigue in Milan are treacherous. Currently, it is ruled from Vienna, but the old families vie for power. Despite regulations, they all have their private armies, their spies, and their ruthless ones. The ones who will make people disappear, or return, or who will torture information out of them. The Morcini have Vazzi. What does he look like? If I were to point him out to you, you'd think me demented. He's quite old now, at least 50, and round. He has beard-darkened jowls and a rather sorrowful look, and he dresses like a shopkeeper. His hair is grizzled and thin, but he never wears a wig. He simply ties it back. I'm sure he finds it useful to appear harmless. I assume his henchmen are a little more frightening. Yes, but when I think about it, they too don't draw excessive attention. A clever and effective man. It's as if you admire him. I appreciate people who are good at what they do. You won't if he catches us. His men will kill you. At least you'll be safe. Your Ludovico won't want the treasure returned damaged. There are ways to hurt that leave few marks, and others that would heal in the time it takes to travel to Milan, he agreed soberly. We'd better stay one step ahead. He'll have to assume you've found a way to travel on to Boulogne or Calais. If you're in Arbeville, you see, he can return and search. But if you found a way to go on, you could reach England, and there you could disappear. Petra muttered a curse. Robin smiled. I think that's where we came in. She wooed me with a curse, and it's gone bad to worse. Stop that! He raised a hand. Ignore my whimsy. How bad would it be for Vazzi if you reached England? Very bad. If your secret really is a secret, they have no idea where you will go. Also, we hoped they would assume another destination there. What? Another piece of information, but Petra surrendered it. My mother had a friend, a Venetian opera singer. Perhaps it's more accurate to say my mother was her patron, but they were friends when young and have corresponded. She is now in London. If all else fails, I am to go to her, but my mother warned that she is not respectable and also not reliable, not to be trusted with secrets. Who is this woman? Teresa Ima, Signora Pompeiati. But I understand that in England she is known as Mistress Cornalis. He laughed in disbelief. You know Teresa Cornalis? You do? Petra asked, equally surprised. My dear, the whole world knows Cornalis. Her Venetian assemblies are all the rage. But your mother was right. That's not a nest for you. If Signor Varzi believes you are going there, however, it could be a useful distraction. I'm hoping he won't follow me to England at all. That, like a rat, he won't cross water. Don't count on it. But once there, he won't have a clear trail to follow, and we have many more resources. Petra was thinking, he'll know I'm with you, and your name. Perhaps, no, he said, before she could complete her suggestion of separating. How can he know? Lady Sodworth. If he asks for news along the road, he'll hear about her behaviour in Nouvion, probably including her attempt to drag me away. My turn to curse. Very unfortunate, but we only have to be careful. The wreck was probably fortunate, you know. He might have been hurrying after, intending to seize you on the road, but that created too much congestion. Perhaps your prayers are answered after all.
I hope so. How are we to prevent him from attacking us between here and Boulogne?
I'll think of something. I wonder if he's here now. I'd like a word with Signor Varzi. Petra rose and leaned forward, hands on table.
You want nothing to do with Signor Varzi. He's dangerous, I tell you. He and his men. Beautiful eyes and dimples won't impress them.
My eyes again. You really do adore them, don't you? Petra straightened, throwing her hands up.
Why you? Why did you have to be the person leaving Abbeville?
Perhaps it's destiny.
She swung and stormed to the window to look out, to search for Varzi, to try to think what to do.
I'd stand back a little. If he's out there, better that he not see you.
Petra stepped back and to the side, but tears stung her eyes. Varzi might be here, and this idiot was going to get himself killed with his overconfidence and flippancy.
Is there a public coach? He couldn't hold up a public coach.
You may not leave me until you're safe. Trust me.
She whirled, but he was at the door shouting for a servant. One came running and was sent for Poeck and Fontaine. When the men came, Robin said, Danger. Fontaine, get the pistols and my sword and bring them here. Poeck, find what parties are nearly ready to set out. We want company on the road.
Both men looked surprised, but asked no questions. In minutes, Fontaine was back. Robin checked both pistols. Petra watched, frustrated but reluctantly impressed, remembering the pale warrior who'd emerged at Mère Goulard's. Yes, like a butterfly out of a cocoon of whimsy. But then again, his butterfly dog was prancing around as if this were all a game. Poeck came back quickly.
Two naval officers are about to leave, sir. Same ones as was at the wreck. And there's a French couple in a coach. Saw no sign of anyone of this Varz's appearance.
Right. Tell those parties that there's rumour of brigands on the road and suggest we travel together. Fontaine, get my jewel box.
When both men had gone, Petra said,
You think to bribe Varzi with a trinket? It will not work.
Of course not.
She gave up trying to make sense of him.
If we make it safely to Boulogne, what then?
If Varzi is the sort of man I believe he is, he'll not want to attract attention by open violence in a town.
But he will definitely want to stop me boarding the ship.
That's his dilemma. You will be well guarded in a locked room while I hire a private vessel with a trustworthy crew.
Getting you from room to vessel will be the most difficult part, but I'll hire extra guards if necessary.
Petra gaped at him. She had to admit that his plan sounded effective. Except for jewellery. What on earth could he want with jewellery at a time like this?
The valet returned with a plain, cloth-covered box. Robin unlocked it and raised the lid to reveal the spines of very old books. Had she misunderstood? He took out the end volume on the left and opened it to reveal a tray of glitter.
"Nothing truly suitable for a lady," he said, "but I think these will do."
He took out a pin and a brooch. Petra backed away.
"I will take no gifts from you."
"My dearest Petra, if I try to buy your body, I won't insult you with trinkets."
He showed her a cravat pin, headed with seed pearls, and a pale green stone, and a cameo brooch of a bird.
"We're about to travel in company, and you are my sister. The gown is not of the best quality, but some ornaments will help."
He fixed the pin in the centre of her bodice, slipping his fingers behind the cloth, before she realised his intention and had a chance to object. By the time she pushed at him, he was already stepping back.
"You have a hat."
Breasts still tingling from that casual contact, she wanted to deny it on principle, but went into her room to find it. It lay on the bed beside plain stockings and garters. Simple black shoes sat on the floor.
"Wait a moment," she called, and sat to pull on the first stocking, tying it above her knee.
She sensed something and looked up.
"Go away,"
he smiled.
"I'm on guard. Vartzi might sneak in here."
"Look at the door, then, rather than at my legs."
He did, and she quickly pulled on the second.
"You're peeping."
She couldn't make it serious, however, and he grinned at her. She stood, shaking her skirts back into line, and slipped on the shoes.
"A little loose, but they'll do."
"Then you stand guard while I improve your hat."
She took the pistol and watched as he pinned the brooch into the knot of ribbons.
"There. Rather stylish, don't you think?"
She exchanged pistol for hat and tried it on. It came with its own plain hat pin to fix it to the cap, and settled securely enough.
"It will do," she said, and returned to the parlour, aware of the flirtatious ribbons fluttering behind. Oh, for the sobriety of her habit! Being in a bedroom with Robin Bonchurch in this mood was more than her nerves could bear.
She looked at his jewellery box.
"Wouldn't a thief check the books?"
He slid the book back in place and said, "Play the thief." Petra tried to remove the book, but couldn't get a finger around it anywhere. She tried other books, and one, a slightly smaller one, did come out. She opened it triumphantly, to find browned, musty pages and a heavy, old style of print. That useless success didn't help her get any others out, because they each had their slot.
"Very well," she said, returning the book, "unless you encounter a book thief."
That, he admitted, would spoil the show.
"How did you get that one out?"
He took her left hand. She'd have resisted, except that she'd asked to know. He put her fingers on the near edge of the box.
"Press down lightly, then press down on the top of the spine of the book."
She did so, choosing the third book in from the left. It sprang up a little, but she still couldn't pull it out.
"Release the pressure with your hand."
When she did that, the book surrendered, and she could draw it out. She opened it and gasped. She knew jewels, she'd worn jewels, but these were extraordinary.
There was a set of buttons, each centered by a large sapphire and surrounded by diamonds and pearls. In the center of the tray sat a spray of flowers formed entirely of brilliantly cut jewels.
"Versailles," he said apologetically. "One must, or be completely disregarded."
Petra began to close the box, but he touched the spray.
"Now that might come close to doing you justice, my dark mystery."
"My price, you mean?" She looked him in the eye. "It doesn't even come close."
"Care to bargain?"
"This isn't a game. I'm putting you in danger."
"My dear Pebble, I wanted relief from boredom on the journey. You're fulfilling your part to perfection."